listener production.
On today's edition of Footy Talk, Nick Riewoldt and I try to explain the wild fluctuations in form we have seen from some teams so far this year. We debate the Toby Green bump and we get Rui's take on Harley Reid. That's all to come next on Footy Talk. This is Footy Talk, your place for the latest news, interviews and analysis from the world of AFL. And we have Nick Riewoldt, as we do every Tuesday. G'day, Rue. How's the week going?
Going well. Jesus, weeks are just piling up on top of each other, Joey. I can't believe how fast this year is going. I feel like we're at the point now, though, where we've got a pretty good feel for it. You know, water's found its own level a little bit with respects to form and the teams and pretty much how they're going to go this year and who they are, which kind of leads me into my first thought, and that is I feel like more than any other year, there are less teams at this point of the season that you can actually trust every single week than ever. And the list continues to get shorter and shorter. I mean, I thought Port Adelaide coming across to the MCG to play Collingwood, you know, really good litmus test for them, and a team that I think we all have felt really good about so far this year. And they just failed so miserably on the big stage in really important moments. So they're a team now that, you know, week to week, I wonder, you know, can you really trust them? Obviously, all the teams sort of from you know, really five down have had weeks where you just think, where did that come from? That was an absolute, you know, one from left field. You know, clearly the Saints had a really poor one. The Bulldogs have been up and down. We know the Bombers had Port, I mentioned. The Swans have had a couple of average ones. Melbourne have had a couple of stinkers. So that list of teams that week in, week out, you know, you can trust to be mentally tough, just gets smaller and smaller every week, Joey.
Yeah, it's a good point. And we might touch on Port Adelaide now rather than wait, because I was going to ask you about them. There is a bit of a common theme, though, with Port Adelaide, Ruin, and it's been the case since probably about round 10 or 11 last year, where when they come up against another really good team that push back on them and don't let Port Adelaide play the game on their terms, they fold pretty quickly. They get scored against heavily. They can't get the job done. We've seen it in finals. We've seen it against some teams, and even this year, their two losses, Melbourne and Collingwood. You look at their list, have they really taken a scalp? Like, they've beaten Fremantle, Richmond, West Coast, maybe the Essendon game. You maybe give them a ticket. That's not really at home at this stage of where Essendon had a huge sort of scalp. So yeah, it's a bit of a theme for Port Adelaide. So I still love the phrase from Simon Goodwin that your vulnerabilities get exposed in finals and you've got to be working on them all year. You've got to make sure that when you get into finals, you don't have any chinks in your armour because they will get exposed. And at the moment, Port Adelaide haven't really fixed their issues getting scored against in their back 50 once it gets through their heavy press and how they like to play. So that's going to be a watch for me. And you see some other teams that we might touch on a bit later that have actually addressed some of their chinks and are playing much more consistent and better brands of footy, including Carlton, and that's why they are one of the premiership favourites. So I like where you're heading with that. And my thought of the week is sort of on a similar path, but just watching this weekend's games and just having a look at some numbers, you can't substitute age and experience, Rui. So on the weekend, all eight winners were older and more experienced than their opposition. And I think we are seeing this more than ever. We've spoken about the last two premiers, Geelong and Collingwood, have been two of the oldest premiership teams on record. And we're seeing it now that these sides that are up and coming, that once you are mature and you've got the bigger bodies, it makes a massive difference to your point around that consistency and the effort required at AFL level. And it goes to my point about this obsession I think we have in the industry with youth. And we are seeing that it's why rebuilds don't really work. Or if you want the rebuild to work, you have to wait till the players are 25, 26 years of age, which is probably what Carlton have had to do. But even in saying that with the Blues, a lot of their improvement has come because they've gone and got Akers. They've gone and got Matt Kennedy and Pittenett and Newman and some other senior bodies that have all joined their young stars that they've developed. And now they're ready. They are physically and mentally ready to perform. So it's just one to keep an eye on that. Bigger bodies, senior players, maturity is a big factor. And I'm going to give credit to the Essendon list management and coaching staff. So a lot of talk about the Bombers' improvement, but it's no surprise they went and got Todd Goldstein, who's been enormous to start the season. Jade Gresham playing really good footy. Ben McKay, senior body in defence that's holding up really well. And even Dersma adding to what they've already got. And all of a sudden you're seeing a much more consistent Essendon outfit with their effort in the last few weeks than we would have said about them in previous years. So I don't know what your thought is on that. I mean, the NFL and American sports are somewhat a little bit similar. You can't substitute agent experience.
Yeah, well, I mean, the difference with the tier one professional sports over here is they've got, you know, four years, a lot of the time of, you know, professional experience coming out of a college system before they're into the pros. So you're not dealing as often necessarily with the 18, 19, 20-year-olds that are really, really green playing a man's game. But you're right. I mean, to me, it comes back to the question of effort. And it's something that, you know, we get so caught in the science of the game. We get so caught in the stats of the game and game styles and flow and all of the metrics. Good old-fashioned roll the sleeves up and trying, you know, in getting great effort every single week. That's what the greats do. That's what the great teams do and the great players do. That's why their form doesn't fluctuate, because every week they go out and they give themselves the best opportunity to perform because they just try really hard. And it's actually a hard thing to do. And I don't think it gets spoken about enough. So when you actually go out and acquire known quantities, that's exposed form. And you're right. It's no surprise that the guys that have been able to last longer in the system and are therefore, you know, playing into their late 20s and 30s, they're the guys that have generally been able to eke out really consistent effort. Otherwise, this game, it spits you out too quick, because coaches don't want to pick you if your form fluctuates from effort point of view, and players don't want to play with you. So, it's a really salient point and one that, you know, is really the key to coaching. I mean, Chris Scott, you know, there's been a lot spoken about Chris Scott is the best coach in the comp because he wins it from the coach's box. Yeah, but so much of that is done Monday to Friday in demanding excellence in effort from your players.
Yeah, it's a good point. And it's interesting too when you talk about then young teams, and North Melbourne have been the focal point this week for their effort. But sometimes just because you are a talented youngster doesn't necessarily mean you've got the capability of being able to bring effort for four quarters, because they've been getting by on talent. So you've sort of got, in some ways, got to drill that into these high-end talents. And then when they do combine the both, they get the effort and the talent. That's when you do get your superstar players, and they'll be hoping that these North Melbourne youngsters will get to that level. But it is a challenge, and that's part of why we are seeing these big fluctuations. You know, I just quickly go through the list, really, of the age profiles of teams. So Collingwood and Brisbane are the two oldest. We know where they've been at. Melbourne, Geelong. Now, Essendon jump into the top five for age and experience. Western Bulldogs, Sydney, Carlton and Port Adelaide. It's basically your top eight. The only exception is the GWS Giants, which I know you touched on a few weeks ago on this show, why they could be set for a dynasty, because they are one of the, in the bottom half of the bracket in regards to age and experience, yet are in the top bracket for where they're at with their footy. So that is the thought, and that is why Adam Kingsley is doing a great job. But let's move on from that, because a couple of the big stories out of the weekend, and I know we've sort of had some disagreements or thought differently about where these situations are at, but the Toby Green marking contest, he'll go to the tribunal tonight. He's been given a one-match ban. What's your take again on the Toby Green situation? Because I've always said, and I said it with the Peter Wright incident, it's unfair. I think I'm probably getting my head around that they will get suspended. I just think it's a little slightly unfair that, for me, these players that are going into marking contests and then at the very last second, it's instinctive to protect themselves, are getting rubbed out. But that's my take, and I think the super slow-mos don't help that. I think it makes out like players have way more time than they actually do. What's your take?
Zero malice in the incident. Absolutely zero malice. So what you're asking, and I'm the same as you, I expected him to get rubbed out, because that's the way the league is going. But I hate it, because if you want a poster incident for a player with eyes on, like Toby Green, both players, credit to both players, but Toby Green is the one that's paid the price from a suspension point of view. He's eyes on the ball the whole way in. The whole way he's approaching that contest, he is eyes on the footy. And then he makes the decision to jump to mark footy. He wasn't jumping to up. He was jumping to mark the footy.
Yep.
And then what you're asking a player to do, you're asking a player to supersede instinct and reaction. It's like saying when a gunshot goes off, don't flinch. It's impossible. And so that for me is where it's really hard on the players. And it's not being done because it's not changing player behavior. Because if you're a ball player and you're courageous, like Toby Green is in the air and you're throwing a mark footy, it's not going to change your behaviour getting a week. All it's doing is safeguarding the AFL so that in 10 years' time, when a player goes to pursue legal action against the AFL, they can say, oh, yeah, but look, you know, we had this rule 10 years ago where if you made contact with the head, you got suspended. So we didn't condone it. That's the only reason it's happening. That's the only reason players are getting a week. It's not to change player behaviour, because that's not going to happen in these sort of incidents. Because I think it's unrealistic to expect Toby Green to do anything else.
You don't think in the future players are going to have second thoughts before they even go to the ball and say, I've just got to be, I'm going to make sure that I'm not going to collide into anyone. That's why when I said the other week about players pulling out, I don't mean they're going to jump out the way, but I mean they're going to think, instead of going into that contest and putting yourself in potential harm's way of getting suspended or getting hurt, they say, well, I just don't need to go into that contest. So you select the contest you go into slightly more often.
I think players will hide behind that.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah,
I will. But what a shame for our game. What a shame. You know, if that's the direction the powers that be want to take the game, well, then I think you'll be like, people will vote with their feet and you'll start to lose people. Well, I really do. It's one of the beauties of our game, the aerial contest, where players have to run in not knowing what's coming and fly for a contested ball. And if players start pulling out of that contest because...
They're not pulling out, they just won't even go into it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, you're going to get there and you go, well, it's the same thing. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
So you're not going to get those aerial contests. And we'll be, as a game, I think, poorer for it. It's a game of risk. It's a game of collisions. And when there is no malice in it like this, I just fear for where the game is going.
Yeah, and I mean, Jonathan Brown last night, this was going to be one of our real talk shit talks. He's worried the game is going to turn into Gaelic football. That was his comment last night. I was going to ask you about it, but I think we're pretty strong on where your view is. And because you and Brownie were two of the best exponents of crashing a pack and taking those sorts of marks, I understand where you're coming from. The only last point I want to make on the Toby Green situation, this whole talk that Toby Green has a duty of care to Jordan Boyd, I don't even buy into that, because he doesn't really have a duty of care. If he kept his eyes on the ball the whole way, he could have stuck his elbow straight through Jordan Boyd's head and knocked him out. He could have put his knee straight into his head, but if he went for the ball, it would have been okay. So you don't really have a duty of care. You can knock him into next week as long as you play the ball, is what we are being told. So even this angle of it's up to the players to have a duty of care, that's not really correct. They're saying you're only mitigating circumstances. If you keep your eye on the ball, you can hurt that player as much as you like. But if you brace and actually try and somehow mitigate the contact and actually try and make it less significant, you're going to get suspended. It's just a really tricky situation right with the footy.
We've got to protect the head. I totally get it.
Of course.
I don't think it applies to this situation. I think this situation is just a part of the game to me. You know, to protect the head one for when a player's got his head over footy, or when you elect to bump. Like, I get all of
sling
those
tackle,
circumstances.
Yeah.
Or all of that. And it's absolutely the right thing to do. But I think it's gone too far because the league is terrified of what's going to happen legally down the track, like we've seen in the NFL and some of the other sports with big, and it's happening now in our game too with the big class actions around concussion. I think that's the only reason Toby Green gets a week here. It's because of the fear of retribution against the league.
Yeah, we're in an interesting phase of the AFL. Hey, quickly, a couple of other topics we'll touch on before we take a break. St Kilda, really disappointing in that loss to the Dogs. Do you buy into Ross's comments, the 3 games in 11 days, sort of back-to-back travel from Adelaide to then up in Canberra and then back? Is that an excuse with a young team, or are you sort of disappointed at the moment, St Kilda, where they're at 2-4?
For sure disappointed. I mean, they've dropped a couple of games that you would have expected them to win. But then they pushed the Giants. So I think they've been a mixed bag. I think, you know, we've had this conversation before about young sides and the fluctuation in effort. I was a little bit surprised to see Rossi go down that path. I don't think he would have done that in our days. So it's probably more a little bit of sort of him, speaking to his players in, you know, the new age speak. Behind closed doors, though, you know, he always used to say, I don't care how you feel, it's about how you act. And for the 2 hours on game day, you might be a little bit off, you might be a little bit heavy in the legs, But there's still an element of courage in playing the game out that, when the game was hot early, they weren't in it. So, yeah, I thought it was disappointing.
Yeah, no doubt it was a poor performance. They'll be disappointed with that. But to be fair, they haven't really put in too many of those performances under Ross Lyon. It was only the second time in his stint they've been beaten by more than sort of 28 points. And we've seen nearly every team so far have a real sort of off day. You talk about their losses. When you look back, I mean, they lost to Essendon by 4 points in a game that they sort of were in control for most of it. You look back now and think, hey, that Essendon form, you know, might have been pretty tough because Essendon might be a finals team. They lost to Geelong down at Geelong. They lost to the Giants in Canberra. So got to hang in there, St Kilda. They've got a tough game against Port Adelaide in Adelaide this week. And again, a bit like the Western Bulldogs, they're getting a team that are going to be smarting from some of the feedback that they've copped. So that's going to be tough. Then the fixture opens up a little bit. Then they get North Melbourne, Hawthorne, Fremantle at home, the West Coast Eagles coming up with Melbourne, and then the Gold Coast Suns at home. So they still have a chance to get on a roll, but they're going to leave their run late like a lot of other sides. Hey, last one I want to ask you before the break. Did you get to catch any of the Harley Reid highlights? Man, this kid's getting even. This is phenomenal what he's doing in six games of footy.
Unbelievable, man. Unbelievable. Seriously. And the one that got me is when he was kind of going, it wasn't, the footy wasn't even there. It was when he was like going back and forth with
Fifey.
Yeah. And pancake hit.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable. Like, it's Fifey. He's like, he is made out of iron, that fight. He is such a big, strong, chiseled bloke. And yeah. Harley made him look like a kid. It was unbelievable. He's doing it on the ground. He's doing it in the air. Like some of his plucks in the 450. Yeah, where he was just like launching and he was hovering in the air. I mean, how exciting is this for West Coast? And I mean, our game's different in that it's very, very rare, and we don't see it very often. Like we saw it with Dusty, we saw it with Buddy, we saw it with Gaz a bit, where one man could just take over the show. I mean, you've got 18 on the field, you know, it's not like basketball where you give the guy. But he looks like he could be this sort of player where he can just take it over.
Yeah.
West Coast have got to lock him away. Like, whatever you got to pay him, 10-year deal, just to tie him up now and make sure he's a one-club player, do it, because he's the best sort of version of bums on seats I think we've seen since probably Dusty.
It's amazing. Like, literally 3 weeks ago, West Coast were being lumped in the same basket as North Melbourne. You know, where are they going? How far away are they? And in the space of 3 weeks, once he got his eye in Harley and just got a couple of games under his belt, the Sydney game, he announced himself. They played terrific in that loss, and then they've gone bang, bang. But not just him. As I spoke about earlier, Rui, it's off the back of their senior players, the big bodies playing well. Like, Elliot Yeo's playing as well as he ever has. McGovern, Jake Waterman. Once you've got your senior players playing well, it's amazing the difference it makes. And that's the massive difference between North Melbourne and West Coast, and the disparity in these two sides.
Don't underestimate as well. Like, you can see the talent, so you see the gather, you see the burst from stoppage, you see the physicality, you see the don't argue, you see the mark in the air. Don't underestimate the mental toughness that this kid must have to have dealt with all of that hype, all of that expectation, back page of the Western Australian paper for so long. He must be a seriously mentally tough kid to be able to deal with all that pressure, all that expectation, and come out and perform the way he has. So, yeah, he's a talent, but he's clearly just got the right head on his shoulders. Well done. Great credit to him.
Yeah, well done to Harley Reid. Hey, we will take a break. We'll come back with some real talk, shit talk. Make sure that if you are listening on Spotify, you hit the bell to be notified when we drop a new episode. We'll be back in a minute. You're listening to Footy Talk. If you have a question for us, make sure you jump on Instagram at @FootyTalk_pod or on TikTok at @FootyTalkPod. Here with Nick Riewoldt for our little game of real talk, shit talk, looking at some of the comments that have been made over the last 48 hours and get our take on it. The first one for you, Rui, and this hits close to home. The AFL should abolish priority picks.
Well, close to home because I was one, you mate.
That's right. You and Cozzy pick one and two, help the Saints.
Look, I think so. I think it's time to do away with them. I mean, we were talking about West Coast maybe getting another one a few weeks ago, and look what's happened in the last couple of weeks. So it can turn quick. I think it's too unfair on the rest of the teams in the competition. The game's evolved. There are a lot more mechanisms now through trade and free agency and all of the other levers that teams can pull. So yep, I'd be doing away with them for good. One for you, Joey. The Gabba, it's lost its aura.
Nah, that's shit talk. That's shit talk. That just swings and roundabouts. I think that's just the way that any sort of statistical anomalies exist. They were 45-4 or something at home over the last 4 years. They were going to eventually lose a few. I don't think it's got to do with the Gabba. They've just been a bit off their tucker to start the season. I'd be surprised if they lose more than one home game for the rest of the year. And if they do, then you can correct me. One more back to you, Rui. This is from my mate David King, who's bullish on the Gold Coast Suns. He thinks they are just one strong centre-half back away from winning the flag within the next 2 to 3 years.
No, that's shit talk for me. They need to prove. They still have a bit to prove to say. I mean, liking what we're seeing, they still can't win away. I think that's something that comes with experience generally. I mean, experience hardened teams, older players generally perform a lot better from home. So you would hope that that would start to turn. But I think there's a few other pieces that they require. I mean, continuity from some of the guys like Ben King. Yeah, you want to see those really important players play consistently and stay on the park for a start.
And making finals would be a start too before they win a flag. Yeah. That would be a good effort.
Yeah. Last one for you, Joey. The Pies are back.
Yeah, that's real talk. Yep, I was still waiting to see it. I wasn't quite sure, but that sort of 2.5 quarters was Collingwood of last year and the year before. So for me, their forward half pressure stuff, the smalls are elite and they are back on track. Good luck playing the Pies over the next month or so. They are flying. Hey, thank you for your time, Rui. I know you've got to get going, so we will let you go. But this has been Footy Talk. Hope you enjoyed the show. Tomorrow, the Beauty and the Beast, Abby Holmes, will join Jack Heverin to take a look at the week from a player's point of view. Until then, enjoy your Tuesday.
Listener.